This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Would you like to find Acts in your Bible or in your digital device? We're going to look at various verses. I will unusually be putting them up on the screen as well, but I'd love you to find them in your machine or in your Bible and maybe highlight them on your device or use a pencil in your Bible. Our theme for this year is Kingdom, Power and Glory. And today I want to think about power, the power of kingdom, power and glory. When I introduced this back in January, I said that the kingdom is the power is the how of the Christian life. It's the how. In our culture, the word power is spinning around in lots of other ways. But the sense in which, the abuse of power and power relationships and all that. I want to think about power in its simplest sense, which is the power to get things done. So it's a spiritual equivalent of electric power. When we came in this morning, we plugged in the PA system, the electricity came in, and therefore you can hear me and the music, and it works. It does what it's meant to do. It's that sort of enabling power. It's the power coming out, the sound coming out of there, the power that does that is a manifestation of the electricity grid. Or if you're driving a car and you put your foot on the pedal, power comes to move you forward. That's the sort of power I'm talking about. It brings movement and light. And if we're thinking spiritually, power brings change and transformation and freedom and healing. I said that power is the manifestation of God's authority. Power is the manifestation of God's authority. When we experience spiritual power, we are seeing God's authority being made manifest. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, which brings about the kingdom. This power we can learn to wait for. This is power where we seek God's authority to be expressed, where we look for an inbreaking into our lives and into our community. Power that we can long to be released in and strengthened in. We can grow in faith to expect God's power to impact our lives. Not our power, His power. We do not need to be amongst those who shrink back. So I want to look at power in Acts. Does your life feel powerful? Full of power? Are you feeling weak and outnumbered? Are you feeling, when you get into opposition with this world, the way the world thinks and things that happen, do you feel hopeless and outgunned? What we've been reading about in the book of Acts is that there's some things that we need to do that get us into a place where we can experience God's power. One is that we wait for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Another is that we confess our sins, we repent, we turn, we live holy lives, and we hold the name of Jesus in high honor. When we do that, we're giving Him authority, and that releases power. When we receive power, we see an inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and then the word of God, it says, will spread widely and grow in power. The word grows in power. It's more effective. More things happen. There's more movement. A few years ago, when my children were very small, about 1995, this was the home strip for Leeds United. And we were living in southwest London at the time. And being missionaries into the south, we knew that the children had to remember their home and their sources. And so they were kitted out with Leeds United shirts. And to be perfectly honest, they had Leeds United duvet covers. And in fact, the bedroom wallpaper was yellow and blue. It was an important part of my parenting. of my sons. And one summer, we took them to into the local park where there was a football camp for summer. And it was somewhere between Wimbledon, I think it was Rains Park, between Wimbledon and New Malden, where we lived. And we walked in, and it was all laid out, you know, with the cones and the coaches and whistles and stuff. About 100 kids, and it seemed like. And I walked in with Josh and Sam, who were, in, I don't know, 5 and 7 or something. And immediately, we felt outgunned and outnumbered. Two boys wearing white shirts in a sea of blue. Because they were all either Chelsea supporters or Wimbledon supporters. Wimbledon were in the Premier League then. Completely outgunned, outnumbered. And it was a hard experience for the boys, but it was a growing experience. It was good for them. And a few years later, we came back to Leeds, and we moved to Leeds. And we moved in August, and on Saturday, we went down to the B&Q down near Elland Road, which is where Leeds United play. And we went to buy some, I don't know, scaffolding or something for the house. Glue, probably. And when we came out, we went into the McDonald's, which is on the corner of the car park. And we walked in, and I'd forgotten that was the first day of the season. Leeds were playing at home. It was crammed full of Leeds United supporters wearing white shirts. And these two boys walked in next to me. And in my memory, they both went, "Oh, we're home. Dad was right all along. There is a Leeds United, and it's all white." I think that many of us feel like that about the power of God, as though we're wearing the white of Leeds United, but we're in southwest London, outnumbered and outgunned by blue. Interestingly, the current sponsors are Boxed Tea. Is that how you say it? Boxed. Anyway, they're a supplier of domestic power. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good illustration for my talk. Anyway, let's get back to Acts. So that conflict, that sort of tension we're aware of, and when we read Acts, we read an account. Acts was written by a guy called Luke. He wrote the book of Luke first, the number part one. Part two was Acts. Acts was about, was the manifestation of God's authority through the powerful acts of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the early Christians. So what was it like for these early Christians, outnumbered and outgunned, white in a blue world? Let's read about some of those things. So in your Bibles, you're going to find Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through to 8. The disciples were told to wait until they had received what? Power. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, these are the words Jesus said just before he ascended. "Do not leave Jerusalem, don't leave Leeds, stay at home, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Power is contingent upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not through our efforts, not through just waiting. The waiting was important and started there, but it was through the Holy Spirit presence that the power came. Which is why we pray, "Come Holy Spirit." That's our prayer in the vineyard. Come Holy Spirit. Not just in the vineyard, but it's one of the ones that we pray. Power that brings about change. Because what happens, it says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was where they lived. Judea was the next county. Samaria was the next country. To the ends of the earth, even as far as Yorkshire. That's what Paul would have said if he'd known. And how does that happen? What happens to these disciples who have got nothing, and then all of a sudden they're doing that? The power comes, something changes inside them, and they move into action. There's action involved, and movement, and change. And their lives, something about their lives changes, so that they are witnesses to Jesus. They weren't before, and now they are. What's changed inside them? Power. has come into their lives. Let's move on a bit. Power actually then comes, and we read about it in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit filled them, and then things began to happen, and it needed an explanation. How do these things happen? So let's move to chapter 4 and verse 7. So in chapter 4, we won't read it all. We've done this two or three times this year already, actually. Peter and John are walking up to the temple. There's the man who's lame sitting by the gate. And everybody knows who he is. He's been there for years, asking for money. And Peter and John don't have any money, but what they say is, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he gets healed, and he runs about, and everybody knows, and it's a big deal. And the authorities don't like that at all. So they arrest Peter and John, and the next day they bring them before the court, and they say, verse 7 in Acts chapter 4, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or name did you do this? By what power or name did you do this? We see this. Where does it come from? Luke, who wrote this book, if you read back into the Gospel of Luke, there are a couple of occasions where he uses the same language with the Jewish leaders talking to Jesus. When Jesus does amazing things, the Jews say, by what power? By what name? By what authority did you do this? He uses the same phraseology. Where does the power come from? Let's move on. Find Acts chapter 19. So here, we're in a place called Ephesus, which was a big cosmopolitan city in this roughly where southern Turkey is now. And there was lots going on. Paul was there, and he was evangelizing, and he was growing the church, causing quite a lot of trouble. And as part of that, he encountered a sorceress, a young woman who, under demonic influence, was prophesying and reading people's mail. And Paul's had enough of this after a while, and he cast the demon out, and everybody again knows, wow, who did that? This girl's had power for ages. How did this happen? Then it says, verse 17, the Ephesians were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord was held in high honor. The name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, burned them publicly, and then in the end he says, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. So we have this, we wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, something changes, we move out, and it's recognized, and people say, what's going on? Where does this power come from? And these Ephesians recognized it, and they held Jesus in high honor. That's where they give him authority, which then again released power in their lives. They confessed their sins, they repented, they turned around, and the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Do you get the sequence? Say yes, if you did. That's three of you. Okay, I'll keep going for you three and those of you online who can rewind if you need to. So, power is the manifestation of authority. Think about these people in Ephesus, this big city, cosmopolitan city. They're living under three sets of authorities. Okay, first of all, there's the Jewish authority, the Jewish religious authority. Didn't apply to everybody, but it applied to the Jews in Ephesus. And the Jewish authority was controlled through the law. And if you obeyed the law, then you were accepted into the Jewish community, you belonged. And if you didn't, they had the authority to kick you out. So power came through that authority that came through the law, the Jewish religious law. They also lived under the authority of the Roman Empire, a tyrannical Roman Empire, which gave legal status and safety if you acknowledged the emperor as the Lord. The emperor as king. Then you were safe and you were able to work within their legal structure. And then the third authority they operated under, Ephesus was a center for idol worship. So there's an enormous amount of demonic activity, and spiritual authority, bad spiritual authority, was over the people in that city. Three sets of authority, which manifested in three different sorts of power: spiritual power, legal power, political power, religious power. And these people were seized with fear, it says, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. So in one movement, they put aside those authorities and they came under the authority of Jesus. Can you imagine what that did in that society? There were no human rights then, no democracy then. They put themselves at high risk because they came under Jesus' authority. And they confessed their sins and they repented. And what happened? The word of the Lord grew in power. The interesting thing about the manifestation of God's authority compared to those other forms of authority, his power looks very different. It doesn't require violence or physical intimidation. It doesn't require financial muscle. It comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just waiting for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Waiting for that inbreaking. It comes through the opposite of what the world does. It comes through confession and repentance. Burning the books that have led them astray. It comes through a submission to God, to Jesus, holding him in high honor, giving him authority. What a completely different dynamic to power. And we're called to do the same, brothers and sisters. If you follow Jesus, then we're called to do the same. We respect political authority and we respect democracy. They didn't have that then, but that is a sort of authority over us now. But following Jesus comes first. We submit to the law of the land. We keep to the speed limit. We don't drink and drive. We pay our taxes. But following Jesus comes first. We recognize the work of the enemy, and we do not shrink back in confronting it. We recognize the other idols, the money, the preoccupation with money and getting our identity and our value from how much money we got in the bank account, our safety, from careers, going up the ladder, making sure we get a better job with a bigger title. Our reputation, making sure we're, you know, our Facebook account looks good and that our reputation at work is perfect. Materialism, the comforts and appetites of this world, which are always leading, you know, the thousands of images we get pushed at us every day in advertising to take us off into different areas. Perhaps the biggest idol of the day is the idol of the self. It's all about me. Being my authentic self, living my best life. We talked about this last year. Instead of knowing that it's God who gives us our identity. We have to sacrifice all that to the name of Jesus, like the Ephesians did. They took far more risks than we do in doing that. They're putting their lives at risk doing that. When God is Lord, not the Emperor, when the God is Lord of our lives, when we get our meaning and our identity from him, when we give God that authority in our lives, then this authority is manifest and we see power come. And so the power shows in many ways, doesn't it? It shows in how what we did this morning, communion, we live free and forgiven lives. I don't know how many of you talk to your neighbors and your friends and people at work deeply. Most people live under huge suppressed guilt because we all know we've done wrong. And you can come here on a Sunday and share in communion and know that you're forgiven. Wow. What power is there in that? We can put our whole lives into God's hands and our futures and trust him. What power is there in making life decisions when we know we're in his hands? Power even manifests itself in this. This is why gathering together on a Sunday to worship together is so important. This is why being in your small groups is so important, because that the power of being accepted and belonging in the family of God releases so much. And then when we see the works of the enemy and we can come against them, we can feed the hungry. We can restore the parents to the children in relationships. We can rescue, we can pray for the people whose lives are a mess. We can pray for those who are sick. We can seek to rebuild relationships with forgiveness and restoration. We can seek for that vision that's given us in Revelation of a time when there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. We're working towards that. We're waiting for that moment, and we can see it come today when we pray, when we wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and when power comes. Now, let me move on. Some years later, after that event in Ephesus, Paul, ironically, is in prison. We read about this, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? You know the shipwreck story, and then he goes up to Rome and is in prison. He's under the Roman guard. He's in chains, or the face of it, very much under the power of Rome. Interesting. And he's sitting in his cell, and he's writing a letter back to Ephesus, this city that we've been reading about, and it happened earlier in Acts. And he's writing to them a letter, and we've got that letter. It's called Ephesians. It's in the book. We need to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 21. He writes a very fascinating thing to this city, with all these authorities in this city, from a place in a cell where he's under the authority of the Roman emperor. And he prays for them, starting in verse 19, chapter 1. He prays that you may know his incomparably great power. Now he's making that comparison there in that prayer between all those other powers that they are experiencing, the legal, the religious, the spiritual power, and he's saying that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. He's making a direct statement about power and authority. That power, he goes on, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and realms and authority and power and dominion. Now, think back, knowing that the context of the competing powers that Paul is writing into, he's writing to the church, the Christians in Ephesus, who came to faith as a result of that last thing, that event a few years before. Can you see what a huge claim, a majestic claim Paul is making? Every name, people kept asking, by what name do you do this? What's your authority? By every name that is invoked has to come below this power. Far above every name, authority, every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but forever, the one to come. So this is the point, brothers and sisters. Paul's sitting in his chains, in his Roman prison, looking beyond the walls, looking beyond the city, looking beyond the natural world, and he's grasping the truth that there's this supernatural cosmic power way above all the rulers and authorities of this world. And the power that those around him, the Roman guards and the Jewish authorities and even the demonic, the power that those around him wielded, and the power that is wielded by those around you day by day, is temporary. It's allowed for a time under the permission and the gift of the one who has power over all forever and ever. This is the big story of God, of God Almighty. God is the authority of the whole universe, ruling over it all. And the Roman Empire, amazing as it was, the gods of this world today, Satan's battles, the culture wars, the materialism, the immorality, the corruption, it may seem like a lot, but the power of the enemy in all this is but a minor incursion into God's territory. Paul is teaching us to think bigger and longer. God and me and you makes the majority. This enemy's work that we feel outnumbered by and outgunned by, we feel like we're the white shirts and the blue of Southwest London, this enemy's work is a temporary intrusion into God's territory. It's a foray into his kingdom. But Jesus promised us that the realm of death, the gates of hell, will never overcome the kingdom of life. So when you submit your life to the authority of Jesus, you become a son or a daughter of the King of all kings. Your past is forgiven, your present is empowered, your future is secure, and you rejoice in abundant life. The day will come when all the battles will cease, when the war will be over, and we will dwell in eternal peace and safety and joy. That day will come. That's what we're heading towards. Let me wrap up. The power in Acts, the power in our lives. Are you feeling weak and outnumbered? Are you, when you experience the opposition of this world, do you feel hopeless and outgunned? Let's wait for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Let's confess our sins and live holy lives. Let us hold the name of Jesus in high honor. That's when God's authority comes. And then we will receive power. Then we will see an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Then the word of the Lord will spread widely and grow in power. Amen. Shall we do that? If you're able, why don't you stand? And we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come. And then we'll see what happens. I just want to pray for anybody who, as I've been speaking, says, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had that power in my life. I don't think I've ever knowingly held Jesus in high honor and waited for his authority. And you need to do a step of doing that. You need to confess the sin, and you need to turn around to face Jesus and hold him in high authority. So I'm just going to pray for you, and you can pray along with me if that's you. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I need your power in my life. My life is not going great. I'm under other people's, other authorities' power. I need you. So I, as best as I can, I say, I'm sorry for the things that come between me and you. And as you highlight in my life those things that I need to burn, to get rid of, to put aside, I agree to do that, and I choose to put that aside in my life. And as best I can, I choose to follow you, to make you Lord. I commit my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. As I was preparing this, I sense that at this moment, some of you will be grappling with some things which are competing with the authority of Jesus in your life. And I just sense the Lord saying to you, think on, and you need to go home after this service and spend some time doing business with God. It's not just something that we can easily just pray over now. It's something that you need to do business with, make some decisions, choices, recognizing his authority, confessing sin. You might need to do it with somebody else. Come, Holy Spirit. Let him come. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray for your power to come. Pray for your power to come in our lives.
In the worship, I had a picture of a red helium balloon that was just rising higher and higher. And if you think about a balloon on it without anything in it, I mean, it's a you'll have all heard this illustration before, I'm sure, but it was a very clear picture. A balloon without any air of any sort in it, it can't move, it can't do anything, it's lifeless, but full of helium particularly, you have to tie it down to stop it. I'm sure you've all had experiences with balloons going up into high ceilings like this. And, but I just felt like God really wants to fill us. He wants to release that power in us, just like with the balloon. And interestingly, with helium balloons are associated with celebrations, aren't they, usually? And we usually encounter them, birthdays or weddings or just celebrations where there's expectation, there's excitement, there's fun, there's people gathering together, they want to be together. And I just sense that that's all part of it, the being filled with his power. It's to build our expectation, it's for gatherings, it's for fun, it's an exciting prospect full of expectation. And he wants to release that to all of us. For some, I think it'd be really good if we prayed for some people. You may be feeling, that's just what I want. I long for that. We'd love to pray for you this morning.
Does anybody else have a prophecy or a word of knowledge or something they'd like to share?
I was just really struck in worship with the bridge of running, which says, when I'm far from home, unsure of where to turn, you take me by the hand and never let me go. God, as I return, leaving what I've done, with open arms you run, with open heart I come. And just the sense that for someone or some people, that there's an invitation to leave what you've done today, leave some things behind, but just this assurance that God is running to you. He is absolutely running to you. It's not, I'm going to have to leave this behind. I know. What's he going to be like? Is he going to be angry? Just this sense of this Father that loves you and wants to embrace you. So, yeah.
Thanks. I felt God gave me a picture of a piece of wood, and it was a dead piece of wood. You could peel the dead wood away from it. And I felt the Lord say that this piece of dead wood represents sin, and that there is a man here today in whose life Jesus has forgiven and removed all of the sin. However, he's still living under condemnation and guilt. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to drive that home to you today, that you are free, that has been dealt with, and it's gone.
Anybody else?
I got the word overcomer, and passage in Revelation where it says that they try to clothe him by the blood of the Lamb.
So that's the word from Revelation about being an overcomer and triumphing over by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, thank you. Somebody needs to hear that. So we're going to pray in a moment. How should we do this? Yeah, we'll do the usual thing, actually. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward if you'd like to respond to anything that's been said or anything that hasn't been said. You just would like someone to pray with you. There's a couple of other things. I think somebody lost their job this week. Or they got kicked out of a classroom. The word I got was, you've been dismissed. And it wasn't a good thing. And I felt the Lord say that you're in the wrong place. I don't know if this is somebody online or here. That you were in the wrong place, a bit like Jonah and the whale. There's something else for you to do. Acknowledging God's authority in your life will take you into a new area. So if that's you, we'd love to pray for you. I don't know if... Is anybody here called Frederick, otherwise known as Fred? I felt if you're online or you're here or whatever, then I just felt God saying to you, come back. Come back, Fred. And there's somebody else here, I think, who's been thinking about a missionary calling. And I talked earlier about being missionaries in Southwest London from Yorkshire. That was a joke. You get it? The joke. Anyway, for somebody, that's not a joke. That's a serious thing. You feel not necessarily overseas, but you're into the mission field somewhere, and we'd like to pray for you too. So I'm going to say goodbye to those of you who are online. And thank you for being with us. We'll see you again soon, hopefully. You've all sat down. We haven't quite finished yet. Do you mind standing up just so that I can pray and then we can go? We're going to pray for Georgina and Michael. So some volunteers need to move this table. And Georgina, Michael, if you can go and stand over there. If you know them and like them, they're very nice, please go and pray for them. If you'd like to respond to anything else, then just come forward and we'll arrange for people to pray with you and pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence here today by your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the way you're speaking to us. Lord, we just long for your Holy Spirit to fill us and to release your power into our lives. We do not want to shrink back. We want to step forward into everything you've got for us. We want to step forward with joy and thanksgiving and celebration into the new life you give. Thank you that you come running to us with acceptance and with forgiveness and new life. Come, Lord, may we be people of power, knowing your authority in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.